So you've got Link and you've got Zelda and Epona.
Okay, we're off to a good start here. And you use your sword to guide you.
No. So we all agree that Zelda stole their stuff from Shadow of the Colossus. Welcome to New Game Plus. You're listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game. And then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
My name's Nolan.
And you are listening to and or watching episode 277, a producer pool. Diablo 2 Resurrected had a limited alpha demo a few days ago.
And I did not get access. I tried.
I panicked. I realized I hadn't signed up and went and signed up after the fact. And obviously it wasn't in time.
Both of you tried and both of you failed?
Yes.
Guys!
Yes. It was pretty limited, is my understanding. I wouldn't have had great shot even without.
Sure. They want content creators to have it first.
What do you think we are?
Just three guys.
Playing seven games one day a week. All right. You know, Vicarious Visions is remastering. One of those.
It's a remaster. It's not.
It's a remaster of Diablo 2. The best Diablo game?
Yes.
Yes.
Arguably.
So far.
Kenny, did you play StarCraft Remastered?
Yeah.
Because I think this is a similar thing. Mm-hmm. D2 Resurrected, absolutely, in some ways is moving from 2D to 3D, at least some of the models. But they are remaining, not just even remaining faithful, it is the game again.
Yeah, and it's so the literal game. Same engine underneath, all of those things. It's
same music. Yes. Right.
There's a button you can click, and it literally just makes it Diablo 2, the original. Like, it's a straight up just skin. So I can't wait. Yeah, but quality of life changes too. Like, it's
quality
not
quality of life. Yeah, skin, yeah. Lighting changes. Like, there are some things that have been done. Are you upset or are you happy that there's not much, if anything, being added? It's just everything from the original but enhanced.
That's a good question. I was thinking about that when I was watching a streamer play the alpha this week. I am happy that they didn't add too much. I'm not against new content, but that game is near perfect already. And so once they did the like small quality of life changes with like inventory management and drops, like auto pickups and stuff like that, it's probably going to be a very good experience when I get my hands on it. So I'm happy.
Kenny?
Yeah, I'm glad they stuck to it. It's when you go back, it's what you need. They wouldn't do it if they didn't think they were going to make money off selling this game a second time when it's exactly the same game, but that runs on modern systems easily and looks nice. And I think that's perfect. I do think because of that, it's not going to like completely reinvigorate the game. I think you're going to see a big spike of people that like come back to it, hit a little nostalgia bomb, and then don't stick around because, just in terms of like gaming, there's some sort of quality of life things. The end game isn't super robust. It's super just like repetitive and grindy. And again, that's fine. But I think that it just means that it won't be like a whole new thing, but just a flash in the pan.
Well, also D4 is coming out too. And so people will jump ship to that.
Sure. And that's not what this needs to be. Like, I will play this and then I will also play D4 and probably put more time into D4, still loving what D2 was and that it got an upgrade.
Yeah, and I think that's what they're doing. They see that people are still playing Diablo 2, so they're like, let's give them a slightly better version to play. And then we're still coming out with new content. They don't need it to be a brand new experience because we're giving them a brand new experience in D4. Let's give them a better, more enhanced experience for the original. What console will you get it on? Because I think it's going to be on a lot. You're going to get PC?
PC, oh, yeah, 100%. It'd be of hard course. For me to play on console. I've never liked that console.
Switch?
That would be sick.
I played a lot of D3 on Switch, and it was actually a better experience than I thought it would be.
I bet it... I mean, Switch is amazing.
D2 Resurrection is going to be on Switch?
Yeah.
I'll get it for Switch and PC because I will double purchase a game if I want it on the go, and that would be one I'd want.
Do we know if it's cross-platform?
It is.
Goodness gracious. And we'll be able to play it together? Of course. See, that will be massive. Yes. Like, absolutely colossal. Did what? Can he not go?
Did you just imply that you're going to try and play that game with us? Because that's what it sounded like.
Not with y'all. I'll play by myself. But I... okay. Y'all
play it differently.
I'll play
with you at your pace. I will follow you around and let you slow motion through the story and love it.
I will not.
I don't know.
But also, he segued, Kenny. He got you so good.
No, I know he did. And I felt bad interrupting, but then he wanted me to still get hyped about playing
fine.
Games with him.
You say that, like, you say those things, but it makes me wonder if I would be aggravated by playing with y'all. Like, in our retro game of the week, the game is that we're going to be talking about for the rest of this podcast is Shadow of the Colossus.
Overview.
Shadow of the Colossus is a 2005 video game, which makes it the least retro video game we've played to date.
I was hoping Dustin would come with that fact because in my notes, I think I said the same thing. Because
October 2005, so not even early in the year.
We're on PlayStation 2.
Yes.
And that's one of the newer consoles we played. And we played games like what?
Ratchet and Clank.
This will help us. Ratchet and Clank, Okage, Katamari Damacy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Guitaru Man, and even Devil May Cry a long time ago. I think those are all the PlayStation 2 games that we played. This might be the latest one.
I think it is.
Have we played a 2006 title? I thought...
I don't think we have.
I don't either.
Okay. Then this is the most recent.
If we did, it's at least one of the most recent games
we've played.
Which... obviously, will come into play as we talk about this game.
Detail,
yeah, man. I think just sort of like pointing that out is good. It's a Sony Computer Entertainment game that Team Ico and Japan Studio developed, and is an action adventure game, sort of at least according to Nolan's first play, in the vein of Zelda.
Though
I think you beat that horse way, way, way too hard.
That aggro?
Argo. you find yourself as an unnamed, at least in the game itself, protagonist, who we know his actual name is Wander, kind of thrust into the middle of this epic journey that we don't really get a lot of backstory on, where you are... tasked, I guess, just personally with saving the life of this girl, Mono.
She has not, Mono.
And she's not alive. So, like, it's, yeah, well, right. bringing her back to life.
Bringing her Zelda back to life would be saving her life. That's
okay. So you've got Link and you've got Zelda and Epona.
We're on
their way to the Temple of Time in Hyrule.
And you use your sword to guide you.
Let's
keep going, Kenny.
So we all agree that Zelda stole their stuff from Shadow of the Colossus.
I mean, a little bit, but not nearly as much as Nolan is going to make it sound like because he's a fanboy.
He just said that Zelda stole Shadow of the Colossus' idea, which is false.
That also happens a whole bunch.
you will make Nolan mad.
We'll talk about this later. Okay, you can't look at this game and look at some choices
made
in Breath of the Wild and not think, we'll talk about it later.
We'll talk about it later.
We're not there yet.
Breath of the Wild developers did not look at Shadow of the Colossus and go,
yes, they did.
Dummies?
Oh, I'm sure they did. Okay.
Okay.
So Wander has his girl and his horse and has made his way into this forbidden land where he hears from... disembodied voice I want to call him Dormammu, but that's crossing streams a little bit.
Really good with names today.
Yeah, that's the one from Benedict Cumberpatch movie.
Cumberpatch.
Yeah,
the Hobbit?
that's That's how you say his name. And that and The Hobbit is the movie I'm talking about, clearly.
This guy's Dorman. Dorman.
Yeah. And Dorman is this disembodied man-girl voice that creepily tells you that to save the life of your loved one, you got to kill a bunch of giant monsters. And then you get to spend the whole game doing just that.
Gameplay.
Before we talk about gameplay proper, Kenny, you just brought up the theme, and that is young boy going to seek out these massive beasts and killing them to bring back a human. What would you kill to bring back your human? That's what it comes down to. You would kill something, right? Like, we can, everyone would kill something, I feel like.
To bring back my love, my
Hannah.
Wife.
Okay. Yes.
If Hannah was on that altar dead,
right?
I would kill.
Yeah.
Both you and Kenny.
Wait.
And anything
she just
else.
Took it so far.
Yeah, I was hoping we'd start with like a frog or a snail,
oh, like a
maybe
beast.
An ant.
A beast. Okay.
You know, we could work our way up to friends and
okay,
podcast
then
hosts.
Then let me think.
No, you started. We know you'd kill ants now if you'd kill me and Kenny.
Okay. All right. Let me think of a better answer that's a little more shocking. Not a dog.
More
I wouldn't even kill
shocking.
A dog.
Not a dog, but yes, me and Kenny?
Yeah. Y'all have lived lives.
Wow.
Dogs have lived lives.
Short ones.
Okay.
They're helpless.
So, myself.
Oh my gosh.
But no other people.
Myself. Yeah. Okay, hold on, Kenny. You're telling me you would not kill no other person. So there is an old person that is about to die in the hospital.
Right.
And they're like, kill me. And you're not
Harry
going
Potter.
To, you're not going to kill that old precious lady that is almost about to step to the other side to bring back your wife.
Probably not.
Why?
You don't want that. Because he hates his wife.
I guess so.
No.
I'm going to tell her you said that.
Because your wife wants to die and you're just going
no,
to let her stay dead.
It's a principle of the thing.
Okay, so he's
okay,
not going to play,
Dustin. Then take it. No, he's playing, but take
I'm
a step
absolutely
back.
Absolutely playing.
Would you kill a dog?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Would you kill Dobby?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, me too.
He probably
I'd be
killed
I'd
Dobby
I'd be a little
anyways.
Bit relieved, actually, that I had the
yeah.
excuse.
You hate your dog. Also, by the way,
I love her so much.
I said Harry Potter earlier, not Dobby
right,
from Harry
right.
Potter.
Not, yeah,
dog,
not the
Dobby.
Character, my dog.
Although you would kill Dobby from Harry Potter as well.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Yeah. With a knife
okay.
House elves are not people.
Oh
if we want
gosh.
Morality hot takes, racist. they're worth less than humans.
Okay, so I don't know. I'd kill a lot of animals to bring my wife back. Okay,
how many?
Ozma.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I'd kill. Yes,
but like snap
all of
neck
them
with your
yes.
Hands.
I mean that would be very easy.
Yeah.
Bunnies are fragile, but
yeah. Yeah, you better be quiet.
Would you?
I am really
kill,
scared.
Would you kill like all the bees?
I don't know. I'd have to know what would happen. And also, no, that would take so long.
No, you could just like do it.
It's a snap. No. Okay.
Thanos.
I'd kill a lot of animals. I don't know how many animals. Would I kill a person? That is, I mean, I'm with you, Kenny. Like if we're being real, would I kill a person? Yes.
It just
has to be the right person.
This conversation is what anyone expected out of Shadow of the Colossus.
That's what this game is about.
That's what this game is about. It's like not only in, like I'm not only saying like practically speaking, but that is what is happening in this story. And in
sort of.
It is, no, it is having you feel things as you're taking down these beasts, and the whole story is, am I doing the right thing? Is this worth it? And what's the cost?
Because they're minding their business.
Yes.
Like, they're not trying to kill you.
Yes.
They're big, yeah, threatening maybe, but you're the one going
it's,
to them.
It's pretty clear to me that, like, something's going on there. You don't just kill them and then, like, they die and the world
no.
is just an emptier place. Like, full-on demon dust pours out of their heads and rips itself straight into your heart.
Yes,
like,
there is
I'm
something
kill more
going
of them.
Sure, there's something. That doesn't happen until you stab their head to death.
Right. Well, right, which I had no choice about because that's what the game made me do. But
if
then,
you did it,
but then it told me, okay.
Oh my goodness, I can't believe that.
I'm okay with that. I'll kill Colossus. Is Colossi? I'm sorry.
Yes, Colossi.
Correct. Okay. The word that I would use to describe this gameplay experience, like from the very beginning, is seamless. And I can't say that about a lot of games. Because, and what I mean is this, you have a pretty, as we've just mentioned, you have a pretty epic task ahead of you. There are 16 Colossi, is that right? I didn't beat the game this week.
Yes, and okay. That's not a spoiler because in the temple you've got 16 massive statue structures that crumble each time you defeat one. So there are 16 of those.
Right, so you're bossing. This game is...
It's boss fights.
It's a boss fight game. If you love boss fights, this game's for you because that's literally all you do. You can do some traveling. But from the opening cutscene, it fades you into third person perspective of Link and you have control. Like
not Link, but
so there's that in the way they introduce you into the world. But then as you are traveling across the map to the next Colossus, you just get there. There's like minimal load times. And this is 2005. Like, and we'll talk about that later in Aged, I know, but it's a very seamless experience going through this game. And I was very happy to see that.
The setup we've kind of alluded to, but it's really not only seamless, but super simple gameplay that can be broken down into simplest parts. You're traveling across the map, you're finding a Colossus, you're solving its puzzle, you're defeating the Colossus, and then you're doing that 16 times, rinse and repeat, with the only thing that's changing is how you get to the Colossus and then the puzzle required to defeat that Colossus. And even the puzzle to defeat the Colossus, you're still just finding its weaknesses, weak parts, and stabbing it.
So the way that works is a very simple mechanic where Link holds a sword up to the light and...
Quit calling him Link!
Calling him Link!
The Master Sword shines a beam on the beast, and if you find a weak point, it'll like smoke with this like evil black stuff. So you're like, cool, that's an important part. That's how I hurt this thing. Very simple, but stays consistent. I loved that. It also helps guide you to where to go next. You just follow the light. Great mechanic, so simple, and very helpful too, because if you didn't have that, some of these boss fights would be, I mean, they're already kind of intimidating just because of the scale, but it really did help. I loved that mechanic.
Yeah, when I first saw the glowy sword like pointing me towards where I was supposed to go, part of me sort of rolled my eyes and was like, come on, let me just explore this world and find stuff. But once you figure out how it's going to work and the fact that you can't, like, the game's not made to do that.
Right.
It actually makes a ton of sense for them to both set that up as a kind of navigate to your next Colossus sort of mechanic that keeps you on track and to, I don't know, sort of fit in lore and the whole world that they've developed, which does tons of this whole like light and dark and shadows in sort of gameplay and visuals as well. And then to also give you that same mechanic as a like hint on taking on these bosses. Really, again, I think Nolan, you said the right word was seamless.
Well, and they put this Colossi order in place that makes so much sense. The first three are fairly tutorial bosses with difficulty really only increasing for me from like six onward or something like that.
And even then, they didn't just throw you into the first Colossus without tools. They like make you climb that wall that is one of those sort of free integrated tutorials that teaches you all the buttons on the way and then teaches you the couple of important buttons like the you better hold on button, which becomes
the most
sort of the core mechanic of the entire game as you're climbing these giant beasts. And yeah, they just do such a good job of easing you in and then ramping it up.
Sorry, I have to talk about that hold on button,
the grip
a little longer there, because it's again very simple, very easy to understand, but
hurry because you only have a little bit of time before you fall off.
Yes, But it also just adds so much to the immersion. It's more than just jump onto the Colossi and do your thing. You have to hold on while you're flailing around, and it feels like you're hanging on for dear life, having to hold that button.
You are.
You are. And it's like,
how strong is his hand?
I know.
Like, for real.
It's got to be strong. And like, I love that, because it would have been so simple to, like, I don't know, how you have that interactive kind of gameplay where it's like hit the button, like a rhythm game almost. But no, you're trying to hold on, and you're going to fall several times, but it adds so much to the threat of this giant thing that's in front of you. I absolutely loved that.
Well, and when you get knocked down, you get up again. Never gonna keep me down. And each Colossus has a different puzzle to solve. A lot of your Colossus, or Colossi, along with its name, are these massive beasts. So you're finding its fur, or its hair, or its beard. There's one that's Kenny. Straight up, Kenny. And you have to, you know, like in one, make them attack you and dodge the attack, and then climb up its sword or up its leg. And as you climb those spots, you'll find the weak spots, and you'll be able to weaken them and then defeat them. There are some Colossi that are smaller, but they like that are maybe just a little bit bigger than you as Wander, but they still have their own kind of unique puzzle to solve and system to solve. It's hard to talk about all of them. There's 16 of them, so we're most certainly not going to go through all of them. I think what would be cool is if you kind of share what your favorite was.
Sure.
And while Kenny's thinking, because favorite questions are very difficult for him. I'll begin, and let me just say, I beat the game this week.
I knew you would. You're really good about that lately, by the way. I gotta hand it to you.
Well, I really wanted to this week, and I really did it in kind of two sessions. My first session, I got through kind of half of them, and then my second, I got through the other half. It was a little bit more than that, and maybe even three settings. So I got to experience all 16 of them. So I've got a fair grip on which one I enjoyed most, which one I enjoyed least. So here's the thing. None of them actually have canon names.
Okay.
They have fan-given names.
Oh, that's cool. I like that.
They have, and so like it's just 1 through 16 kind of, but my favorite was number 5, I believe, which the fans call Avion, and it is the flying one. It's the pterodactyl colossus.
The one you have to swim to?
The one you have to swim to an island, you have to arrow it so that you aggravate it, and then it comes swooping down on you, and you have to jump, time your jump, grab onto one of its wings, and then you're taken into the air for a battle. It is sick.
It's also my favorite. Because flying around while walking on its, or being on its back like that was so epic, and again, I'm sorry, reminded me of Skyward Sword, the Zelda game. But that's a good thing here. It was so... And was that the first one you use? You have to use the bow to, like, aggro it? Because the bow, for a while, I was like, I don't need this. This thing sucks.
Right. Yeah, I believe so.
And so that was cool, too, to be like, okay, cool. They're going to implement this weapon and maybe others. I only got to 6. I didn't even fight 6. I'm, like, after 5. Man.
You've
I know
got
there's
some
probably
incredible fights ahead of you, dude.
I know, but that one's easily my favorite too.
Oh man, okay, Kenny, you had hours to look just then.
Yeah, I know my least favorite of the ones I fought.
So the opposite what I asked.
Well, no, I'll get there, but it was interesting to me. Was the underwater one? At least the first underwater one. I don't know if there's more than one.
I think that's a lot of people's least favorite.
Like electric. I just had a harder time with those mechanics.
Why is
I struggled
it always underwater stuff.
Oh, yeah. It's so tough. I love that they did that, though. They went in the air, on the water, underwater. Maybe not on the water. They went all over the place. Of the early ones, because the water one was as far as I got, I think the one that I was like, this is going to be cool the most, which counts, is the one where you had to get him to like bash that specific part on the ground and run up his sword.
Yeah.
That was just a neat mechanic. It was the first one that I was like, wow, they're going to really evolve and make me interact with stuff, and this is going to be cool. So I liked that one.
Dustin, when it comes off that perch the first time and you simply like, you jump and grab on, I was like, okay, game time. Here we go. That was so sick.
And when something, and you've been taught the mechanics at this point, and so it was instinctual for me to I didn't know what to expect. I did not use a guide. Thank God I did not use guide this week, because the whole fun is figuring it out. If you're using a guide in this one.
Yeah.
And so when it swoops down and I'm like, oh no. And I instinctually jumped and was able to latch on that first time. There were other times in that sequence that I missed him, but it felt so good. And then to hold on for dear life as you're going in the air and then pulling out your sword, crawling along the wings to get to the weak spot. It feels so good.
It does. That one, when he literally flips upside down, and the fact that he can flip his wings and not actually eject you, yeah. That was a harder one for me to like suspend disbelief on, like, I'm strong enough to actually hang on to this thing. But like, that's the gameplay. Like, you have to. There's definitely times though that I was like, nah, I'd have been gone. But it was a fun boss.
The other thing that adds to that satisfaction is, again, very, very simple mechanics here. You have a sword and you have weak points on the Colossi. And those blows, when you land them, feel so good. The feedback that they give you, there's a stamina bar, by the way. We didn't mention that. It's not a bar, it's a ball.
Yeah, it's a part of the grip. It's on the grip circle. So yes. On the circle where the red-ish circle is depleting to demonstrate you losing grip, it also pulses outward, and that is your charged attack. And so you can slam that sword down, and when you do, your controller vibrates, because we're on PS2 now, and this black ichor sprays out of the wound.
Yes, and apparently, I think Clint mentioned it in Discord, as you progress, that stamina bar gets better.
That's what I heard.
You don't notice it. I don't think they tell
no,
you.
No, I think you have to like
beat the game,
farm first. Content for it to grow. Mm. I think the collecting the lizard tails is what grows it for you.
Oh, okay. Either way, every single hit that you land just felt like you're actually doing something epic. And when you have an idea like this where you want to fight giant bosses, because look, Dark Souls came after this game, but that's what Dark Souls is too. There's a lot more with Dark Souls, a lot more, but big epic boss fights that are really challenging. But these are big boss fights, the biggest ever in video games. I can't name another one. And they just made it so cool. I felt so cool playing this game.
Yeah. I mean, the 16th, they saved the biggest for last. And so, I mean, it's just, and it's not just about their size. That is an epic part. But sure. Like I've already mentioned, there are a few that are pretty small, but it's a different kind of puzzle that you're trying to solve. There are some that are underwater, some that are underground, some that are in the sky. It's just all sorts of different colossi. And it's so cool because when you come across the colossi that you have defeated, if you come across them later in the game, they're mounds on the grounds where you can still kind of tell that they are there. And I don't know if this is just in the PS3 or PS4 versions, but I believe that you can stand by it or stand on top of it, press circle, and you kneel down at it, and then you can relive that experience. You can do it again if you want to. Which is just awesome. Okay, so I've been swooning over it. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I do want to acknowledge some of the gameplay mechanics that I loathed. Not everything was perfect here for me. Kenny, you actually talked about liking Aggro, which is the horse's name. I thought that he was the worst thing in modern gaming and the final boss of the game.
Was
just
it the control?
Just because he was a horse and didn't always do what you said?
He didn't always do what I said. It was the controls that I'm not used to.
He's a horse.
They're being immersive. I don't know. Once I say it, y'all will understand. Yeah. But in most games with horses, you control the horse. It becomes your character while you're on it. In this game, immersion, you still control Wander, not the horse. And so your horse does not respond to you as quickly as it might in other games. And the horse has somewhat of a mind of its own that you've got to control.
It felt disjointed. Mm-hmm. I could see what they're going for, but it did feel disjointed. And I also hate the camera in this game. It was not inverted.
I have a love-hate relationship. Yeah, well, like, you can change that. You can change that in the settings.
Well, yeah, I didn't. So the default one is like half inverted, I think. Up and down is reversed or something. I don't know. But if it was like too loose, and I just never, it never did what I wanted it to do. And on the horse, it was amplified. So I agree with you, Dustin. It, I mean, and I didn't think the horse was the worst part of the game, but
yeah, terrible.
I know what you're saying. Yeah.
And so that was that, the camera, I agree. I had a love hate relationship with it. I love that the camera, and I'll save that actually for age, but I had a love hate relationship with the camera. Yeah, I think that mechanic, like the some of the mechanical side of things weren't completely ironed out. Sure. We were back in 2005. We are on PlayStation 2. So we're still just kind of evolving into modern gaming, a more modern gaming experience. But some of the mechanics drove me crazy because, like, I would figure out the boss puzzle. And then I would spend, like, within the first 15 minutes of fighting a boss. And then I'd spend the next 30 minutes to 45 minutes just mechanically trying to make it happen.
Just trying to be good enough to actually pull it off. Yeah. No, I know.
And so some of that was frustrating, but didn't take away from some of that experience. And I want to say morale, like, we kind of bookend our gameplay section on morality because, like, I thought what was so cool is that pretty much from the first Colossi onward, first Colossus onward, I had this moral quandary going on. It's this weird feeling. It simultaneously feels so good to fell this creature.
But they're majestic.
And then it feels so bad at the same time.
Yeah.
And that's what the game developers wanted you to feel, and I felt it.
That's cool.
They did such a good job of making them unique, of giving each one sort of its own character, that beyond just like this is a monster. And I mean, they leaned into that. They played the music that, you know, implied for your emotions what you're supposed to be feeling and those kinds of things.
But they had
faces.
Even
if they hadn't, right, they made them such unique individuals. They didn't just like personify the monsters, they like personified the monsters. They went even farther. They just, I don't know, they did a really good job of making me regret that I was sort of the bad guy.
It's like almost blasphemy. Yeah.
Yeah, you're killing gods, it feels like. And it feels really bad to do it for one person, but Nolan would apparently kill both of us of y'all. And everyone else.
Aged.
Well, you see, the thing about Aged, 2005, we mentioned it, one of the most, if not the most recent game we played on the podcast, not okay. God of War and Resident Evil 4 came out in 2005, to give you some perspective.
What, Resident Evil and what?
God of War. Both came out in 2005.
Okay.
So classics, big titles, good looking games, just so that we can like compare this to some other games at the time, right?
Okay.
Now playing it in 2021, I had this question in the first play. I think I know the answer to it. It's subjective, of course, but I wanted to ask you guys, do y'all think that this game in any aspect, in every aspect, was ahead of its time?
Yes and no. I think the innovative things they did, the storytelling, the game design, all of that kind of stuff, absolutely unique, ahead of its time, because it was the first one that did some of these things. They really were creative and innovative and cohesive, but I don't think like they like broke the PS2's capabilities or anything. There were some it's a very pretty game. I'm not trying to say that, but there certainly are places where they fought some frame rate things. You guys already mentioned the camera. Like, there are technical limitations that make me say, like, if someone chooses to go back and play this game, they probably might as well go back and play the HD remake, which there was one, and says something about, you know, the longevity of the game anytime that a game's remade. But yes and no.
My answer is actually surprising, and I don't know if I stand by it. I'm going to say no. I just think it was the best of its time. Huh. And like, I agree with Kenny, some of the mechanics say it's a part of its era, but in what they went for something different than what everyone was going for. They went extremely minimal in the approach here.
Yes.
From the HUD to the story and how much they tell you, to the dialogue, to the sole character.
The music, too.
The task.
Like,
to the music.
Tone it
to,
way back, except when those epic moments are happening.
To the world map traveling. There's no enemies on the map. Most of it is barren desert or barren field. There is so little when most games are trying to give you a lot. Yep. And so I just think they went for something totally different than what other games were doing in its era. And because of that, it stood out, and then they did it well. So it just stands out even more.
It was so smart. They not only decided to do that, but they went all the way with it. They could have had you kill these bosses and then made you run back to the temple to get your next boss.
Yeah.
Easy. Why? What? Like, instead, no. Cut out the fluff, teleport you back, let you start again. Feels almost sort of cheap, but kept things tight and on purpose. They just were so thoughtful about keeping things moving. And even though you're not in this story that has a lot, there's lots of implication of world, but you're in this sort of like empty adventure on your own. They keep developing story and making you feel more intrigued the further you get. I don't know. Their restraint was so intentional and so good.
Yeah. And Dustin, I think I agree with you. It wasn't ahead of its time per se, but playing it in 2021 is such a refreshing experience in gaming as a whole. I'm not even talking about in the genre. I'm talking about just a game to play. It's so refreshing because of how simple it is, but how well they executed the game. So, yeah, 2005, this is a marvel for 2005. That's insane.
Every once in a while, and it's still today, so it's not just the golden years of yesteryear or whatever, but every once in a while, you get a game that comes out by a team that put their heart and soul into it. You can tell it's just not a cash grab, or it's not just for money, or it's not just, you know, it's not just... And here's the thing. Look, Mario is wonderful, right? And every Mario title is impeccable, but you can tell it is this massive team that is doing all of this, and so they're going to produce this great product. Yeah. And then you have these indie games, and I don't know if it was considered indie, but it's got this indie feel of like it's got a small team that is trying something different and doing it with so much heart and beauty and soul, and you can really feel it here.
Yeah. And see it. Graphics, so stunning.
Yeah, it was cool watching your first play because you're like, this is PlayStation 2. This is 2005? It doesn't make sense.
I was literally shocked for a second. You can see, and that's back to what I was saying with that seamless transition into you getting control of the character. I was like, this is gameplay? It looked like one of those E3 trailers that they show people, and then when you get the game, it's not that good.
Right.
But it actually does look that good.
Right.
And the world was beautiful. I mean, it's a little muted. The color tone, I mean, is a little muted, but it's intentional. It kind of...
Yeah, that's a design decision.
Yeah, it's a design decision that added to the story and what you were doing.
Right, you're alone in this world that something went terribly wrong or something, because at some point there was stuff and now there's nothing. And yeah, they just leaned into all of that.
One, I think I was reading that this is one of the first games, if not the first, that implemented the bloom effect that is so popular in video games today, especially on PC. But that whole light and dark theme that is going throughout this game, when you do that here, it is oversaturated bright when you come out of a cave into a desert. But then slowly over time, your eyes adjust. They do a lot graphically here that does feel ahead of its time, going back to what you said earlier. Yep. I did notice texture pop-ins. I noticed some frame rate issues from time to time. I think it would be even worse on the actual console and hardware of the time. Thankfully, I had a little bit of an advancement from there, but I think you get some of that in games like this, and I could definitely excuse that.
The run animation was kind of funny looking. Too.
Yeah, and the horse gallop animation is kind of like floppy legs a little bit.
Yeah,
they were trying to make it realistic, but with character, and I was okay with those choices. I know I implied that there wasn't a lot of music in this because there's so many areas where there's not. It's just sort of forlorn and empty and sound effects, and that's again like a choice. But when the music hits, How good is this music?
Emotional, bros.
Top of the line.
Emotional. Like,
crazy good. Yes. I could close my eyes and listen through that intro of the game without reading any text. And when the music stopped, yep, I'd be like, I'm about to play something awesome.
Yeah, music is, the soundtrack is absolutely remarkable, and it's adaptive. So when you're in the battles, it rises and falls based on where you are at in the battle and where you are at on the Colossus. And then we talked about it setting the tone and kind of referenced it in our gameplay section, but in the morality talk. But when you defeat a Colossus, it's not this, you know, epic. It's not this like fanfare, like Final Fantasy.
Right,
you're not happy. It's a somewhat somber, mournful track that it gives you, which is reminding you what you just did. Now, when you come up before it, it's this majestic, beautiful, and then it's this epic battle music daring. But then afterwards, it's like, what am I doing? You know, is this worth it? They know what to do, when to give you music, when to not, when to rise it in volume and intensity, and when to bring it down. It's
so good.
Remarkable. There was a PS3 remaster in 2011, and then there was a PS4 remake in 2018.
Wow. Okay. Fancy.
I am going to play the PS4 remake this week. I hope we get a crappy game because I want to play through it. I believe it's the same game, quality of life and graphical overhaul.
Yeah, I bet it's so good.
It's a graphical overhaul. It's already stunning to look at.
It doesn't need one. Yeah.
But they just make it HD fidelity, bring it up through the roof. And then they do fix some of the mechanical issues that I had issues with. So I am excited to get my hands on a PS4 copy and play it this week. Mm. The PS2 disc is only $11 used and $53 new. So that's not terrible. I mean, it's PlayStation 2. It's relatively new. They made a lot of them. So I mean,
okay, yeah, I expected more, but I guess as you get more current with the consoles, the price goes down because there are more.
Yeah.
Final thoughts.
Hold on.
At the end of each and every one of our episodes, we determine whether or not the game gets our vote for New Game Plus status, which is our general thumbs up or thumbs down. Does it require 2/3 of the vote to swing one way or the other? Kenny, can you be prepared to go first?
Sure.
Like, just take it from here and talk.
Yeah, so it's not a surprise that this one's going to get New Game Plus status for me.
Okay. It is slightly for me. I was worried.
Really?
I can see this not being your thing, Kenny.
You just scare me, Kenny, all the time.
That's fair.
It's because you look like a Colossus.
Producer pools. I did have one that I was like, hey, I know that beard. Producer pools generally are, you know, extremes, either like intentional, funny, bad, or like super good. And so when we got a producer pool episode, I figured we're probably going to get some hype big title. It's a better game than I thought it was going to be from my sort of very initial impressions of the game. And so, yeah, really good. What I think I'm surprised by, and I'll find out now actually how true this was since I went first, I thought you guys were going to be even more hyped about this game than I was. I played this entire week going, Dustin and Nolan are going to just lose their minds over this thing, and I'm going to have to be the one to kind of bring some balance to perspective here. And I didn't get as much of that as I thought. So, unique game, innovative, well-crafted. It's a masterpiece. If someone asked me if they should go back and play it, though, I would tell them, no, go back and play one of the HD remakes because it's beautiful, but you can make it even more beautiful.
But since we played this version this weekend, we're a retro gaming podcast, you're saying yes, because that's your only
option. Yes,
play
this game.
Right.
But by all means, New Game Plus status. But yes, if you're going to go back and have never played any of them, you might as well play the prettier one in this case.
Well,
Nolan, yeah,
let me see if I can disappoint you, Kenny, even more. I said at my first play, this is derivative Zelda. This is trash Zelda. And it doesn't even try to hide the fact that they're straight up copying April Fools or whatever.
Oh my gosh, okay, dude.
This game rules. This game rules.
Trash Zelda.
While you have... while you have great series like Mario, Zelda, all the big ones, super quality, great, I'll use this analogy, great, like, huge Marvel comic series. This is a graphic novel that you haven't checked out yet. And it
is the indie film compared to the AAA titles.
Exactly. This is something truly a hidden gem. Maybe not hidden because people know about this game. It was a big deal, but you have to play it. It is incredible. It's worth buying a PS2 for. This is a PS2 exclusive. I don't know if you mentioned that, and because it's refreshing, because on the podcast we usually have games and they're ported to literally every console, and it's just take your pick. PS exclusives were a big deal back then, still are to a degree. This is worth buying a console for. It's fantastic. Plenty of reasons to revisit. I'm sure that the remake and the remaster are both excellent choices when you want to go back and play it, but so is this. This is great PS2, and you need to play it, New Game Plus, easily.
I mentioned that I primarily had my gaming experience in two major sessions this week. After my first session, I truly thought I might have a new entry in my top 10 favorite video games of all time.
Yo!
That is a really tight list, 10 yeah. games. And y'all know what some of my games are on that list. Yes. Like, so to knock out one of those would be a big deal. The longer I played this in my second session, the more frustrated I grew with some of the mechanics, okay, and that I've already talked about. And yep. I realized, okay, it's not a perfect game. Because in that first session, I was like, there's nothing wrong with this game. Yeah. And so it is not a perfect game, but it is a phenomenal game. It is one of the best games we played on this podcast. It is beautiful. It is moving. And guys, the further you get into the game, while mechanically it is frustrating and you'll get annoyed by some of the things that you're like, I know how to do this, it's just not happening. It continues to grow in its epicness. So while this game didn't get in my top 10, after this week when I play the PS4 remake,
yeah.
It will shock me to death, and you'll have to revive me at the altar of time, if it does not go into my top 10, if not my top 5, because this is my kind of game. This yes. is my kind of experience. It is a remarkable, beautiful, stunning, God-tier game, and it most certainly gets my vote for New Game Plus status.
Okay. Yep. I wasn't wrong after all. You guys were just being restrained through the first part of the episode.
Yeah.
I thought this was going to just be an absolute favorite for both of you.
So good.
And so I'm glad that I at least know you well.
After I play this PS4, I might talk about it next week, the whole that game, the whole time, because just... If they truly do, and I've heard good things about it, but if they really do take this and make it better,
I know.
What?
I know. Like, it's already so, so, so good.
Oh, Shadow of the Colossus is New Game Plus certified. But what did you think? We actually had a poll on YouTube this week. 760 of you voted, and 65% of you said yes, Shadow of the Colossus is worth playing today. 5% said no, go play something else, which... Screw
awkward.
You.
Awkward.
And then 30% said they had never played it before. So if you were like us and it somehow missed you, because I had the PS2 and I don't know why I never played this game, then pick it up and play it, because we said definitely do so. And then many of you wrote in commentary. Tons wrote in commentary. Yeah. I can't get to all of it. Wish that I could, because so many good thoughts in there on both sides of the aisle. But I wanted to bring in a few voices that we've never heard from before. Yeah. Slade sent in an email and said, when I first played this game, it was already a classic retro game in 2015. I played through the whole game, no guides, just my wits and faithful horse. From the first Colossus to the last, I enjoyed taking them all down. Dusting off my PS2 for a few hours this week was worth it, though, to slay the beasts once again. Mm. New Game Plus status? Of course. This game takes the classic archetypes and utilizes them to perfection. Enough story, a whole lot of action, many a field to roam and contemplate. Nolan is spot on with comparison to Zelda, but this game builds on those tropes in masterful ways and makes for a unique experience that owes much to other timeless masterpieces, yet should be easily placed in their ranks.
I like that comment about the contemplation you have when you're traveling. Goes back to what we were saying about thinking about what you just did.
Yeah, it's lots of that just like downtime, like you and your horse and traveling, yeah. And you can ruminate. I'm also glad he brought up Nolan and the Zelda thing, because we threatened to go back. I will say, yes, this game took from Zelda, but it also gave so much.
Sure.
You know it's true. Okay. Yeah, that's like fair. Breath of the Wild has tons of moments that are just like, they were inspired.
I mean, I haven't played it, but don't you fight big guys?
I mean,
different. You fight like inside of big guys, but like that whole thing is still... it's still
Ryan.
Evident.
Ryan said, "Shadow of the Colossus is my favorite game of all time for many reasons. Number one, the music is unique, fitting, memorable, and catchy. It has the amazing aspect of changing throughout a Colossus fight to match what's happening while still being completely seamless. Number two, the gameplay uses the trope of adventure for a while, then fight a boss, but trims away all the fat. The sword beam ability gives just enough guidance without giving a blatant 'go here,' but still letting players explore the environment. Number three, the Colossi are so cool. Each one feels different and unique, and often provides a better puzzle-solving experience in how to defeat it compared to some entire Zelda dungeons. Number four, a great story without ever bogging down the action. The game never really explains who the girl is, who the people that follow you into the realm are, or what exactly happens in the end. But it gives enough substance in short cutscenes that you can fill in the gaps on your own. And number five, last but not least, the controls of the game are often cited as the worst part, but the uncertainty and variance in when to grab the Colossi, where to grab them, and how many times to stab a sigil before you endanger yourself make for an amazing experience. Shadow of the Colossus is a masterwork of game design and one that every well-traveled retro gamer should experience."
Yep,
hard agree. I can see this game, even the PS2 and like just still being good 10 years from now, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I love the minimalism. You don't know if she's your girlfriend, your wife, your
sister.
You know, you don't understand why she's even dead. You don't understand a lot of these things. And at the story's end, it deals with that morality thing. It doesn't overdo it. It's cutscenes, very little dialogue, but it shows you the consequences of your actions.
And yeah, even if you should bring her back, like it implies that she died like to stop some kind of evil or to like do something important too. And so whether you even should be doing this is on the table from the very beginning. Like they're just so good about like letting it be this story you can kind of look at from different perspectives. It's just so, so good.
Swift Pilot Ben said, "Usually a game on NGP will bring up memories of gaming firsts. Since this game is so young by NGP standards, I think it actually holds a place for me as a gaming last. When this game released, I was in my mid-20s, and I think it may actually be the last game I ever rented. I liked this game, but I was not very good at it. There was a 10-year-old boy living across the street who would stay with us on occasion, and I remember watching him defeat the Colossi I could not. So that was a new gaming first for me, as it was the first time I saw the next generation of gamers growing up to carry the torch for those of us who are now adults."
Oh, that's cool.
15 years later, this game is eligible for NGP, and that little boy is now the age I was when I rented it.
Oh, what a wholesome... I love that, Ben.
That's so great.
What are we passing the torch now? Fortnite? Battle Royale? I miss single-player games. I think there aren't enough single-player games, especially like this one, that are
But
being
we still have
created.
Masterpieces from time to time. I know it's easy to get these nostalgic goggles on and say, they did it better then, and they did a lot better then, but there's still every once in a while this gem that comes out.
That's true.
And even from big groups as well, like with The Last of Us and Red Dead 2 that. Like, man. Okay. Bro Gym. A few people actually had what some would say more balanced or negative feeling towards this game. Bro Gym is one of those examples.
Okay.
He said, in fact, he came in Discord a lot this week while I was streaming and trolled me. He said, "I don't think I'm being fair to this game because I kept waiting for it to be something it isn't. People kept evoking Dark Souls and Zelda when speaking of this game, but it isn't those at all. It's a puzzle game. A beautiful, unique, and strongly atmospheric puzzle game, but still a puzzle game. Combat consists of solving the puzzle in each fight, how to access the weak spot on the monster, and then repeatedly stabbing it to death. I'm honestly at a loss to why they put the ability to slash with your sword in the game at all. 8 Colossus kills, and I have not yet needed it. Here is the death blow for me. Not once was I fearful or excited in any boss fight. Sometimes I was in awe of the unique and giant creatures. Sometimes I was impressed with their behavior or the unique way with which you could interact with them. But the most common feelings I felt was annoyance and frustration. Once I'd solved the boss, all that was left was a slog to get my character to not inexplicably fall down and roll around like a drunk and instead climb and jump to the appropriate spot. I never actually feared dying or falling. The one death I had in the entire game was an accidental one. This game is all sizzle and no steak. No new game plus from me. Sorry, Clint.
Wowzers. Wow.
You know, if you're going to have complaints, I think fair complaints. To me, the atmosphere, the storytelling, all of the stuff makes up for some of those weak spots. But there's some valid criticism in there. It's a lot of same thing over and over again. And yes, once you've figured something out, even you ran into this, Dustin, some. It's the, can I just do this and move on to the next one? Because there's nothing else hooking you. You're not dodging blows. You're not doing anything real time beyond sort of following the formula. So it's a fair criticism.
Yeah, it's a fair criticism. Obviously, we don't agree with where he landed. And I think that In every good game, you're going to find yourself frustrated because the game is overcoming that frustration and solving whatever it was that was frustrating you. And so, yes, I got very frustrated on some of these boss fights. Some of it was my fault. Some of it was the game's fault. But overcoming that, there was always this feeling of elation and then terror at what I just did. I wanted to include Clint's thoughts since it was him as the producer that brought the game before us. Shadow of the Colossus is my favorite game of all time. It represents what gaming is to me. Conquering impossibly large obstacles with your wit and a stolen blade, what more could you want? To me, the game plays the same way an epic story reads. Wander has lost a loved one and takes fate into his own hands, stealing the sacred sword and swinging open the doors to the forbidden land to plead with an unknown force for the return of her soul. This questionable multiplicity tasks you with defeating the idols in the forbidden land in return for the girl's soul. This is not a game where you play the hero. This is a tragic story of loss and rebirth. Everybody should play this game. It's beautiful. It's morally challenging. The soundtrack is haunting and awe-inspiring, and I'm so glad this got pulled. And thank you to everyone who picked it up this week, even if you didn't fall in love.
Well, Clint, thank you for suggesting it. I knew that I've always needed to play this game. I just never have. And what a treat. So thanks for submitting it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And thank you to all of our producers for supporting us, for submitting your game to be picked in that extremely small producer pool. We'll do it again in the future, and hopefully yours is picked. If you would like to find out how you could be a part of that pool, visit us at patreon.com/NGPpodcast. But for now, we're setting aside Shadow of the Colossus, the PS2 version, to play Shadow of the Colossus, the PS4 version. But also to randomly select what game we're going to be playing for the next 7 days from our expansive retro master list. Randomizing now. We're going to be playing an action platform game developed and released by Sunsoft in 1999 for the Game Boy Color.
Oh, a Game Boy game.
I like all of the words you just said.
It's based on the 1990 TV series.
Oh, never mind.
Okay, I like the words you said last.
I don't know much about it at all. There are 6 different stories in the game, all of which are played by the Moomin Troll. The game that we're playing is called Moomin's Tale.
Okay.
Anything?
Nothing at all.
No idea.
I'm now worried. I love Game Boy. I really do.
Game Boy Color, Sunsoft, late 90s. I'm intrigued. We'll see.
Moomin's Tale. It looks like there's like a hippopotamus type character, cartoon character on the front. I know he's not a hippopotamus, but
hello.
He's probably a Moomin. He's a Moomin troll, I guess. But find a copy of Moomin's Tale, and that is T-A-L-E. It's not his little slingy thing. And play it along with us this week.
Hop into Discord this week, please. We're very close to achieving partnership with Discord, and we need your help by joining and chatting with our community. Go to ngppodcast.com and click Join Us in Discord to begin that process.
We want to say thank you to those of you who support what we do on an ongoing basis on patreon.com, especially our producer level supporters, Amarlian, Austin, Ben, Bethany Fox, Brojim, Carrie, Dan the Man, Francesca, Corey Maxima, Secret Duck of Evermore, Shauna, Unbedavable, William, and Zion. and our amazing director level supporters, Antonin, Garlisle, and Wardanis. You guys are just absolutely wonderful human beings. Thank you as well to our newest patrons, Pierre. And thanks to Antonin for upping his contribution this week as well. Yeah. We appreciate it,
thank
guys.
You.
We noticed that, Antonin. You went $1 more. So now you are the single individual that has given more per month than anyone else before. So thank you very much. You can follow us on our social media. That's Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. All of those links are in the show notes. Listen directly on any podcast provider of your choice. Make sure you subscribe so that you're the first to get new NGP episodes. And while you're at it, please leave a kind rating and review. This episode was edited and produced by our good friend Tom Tate. Join us next week as we play Moomin's Tale. Until then, I'm still Dustin.
I'm Kenny.
I'm Colossus 5.
Ooh. And this has been a producer pool episode of New Game Plus.